Labor Radio is with Andy Neufeld. He's the communications representative for UFCW 1518. How are you doing, Andy?
Very well, thanks, Shane.
You invited Labor Radio to come down and talk to you about your organizing activities around Walmart and Shoppers Drug Mart. Let's talk about Walmart. What are you doing with respect to Walmart? What's going on?
Well, we're our local here in BC, Local 1518, has about 26,000 members. Most of them are the folks who work in Safeway and Save-On. We also have some people who work in the healthcare system as home support workers. And we're always looking to actively organize the unorganized. Walmart is a very obvious target for us to go after. And the people who work at Walmart genuinely need a union. Walmart is a well-established reputation both in the United States and Canada as being an employer that doesn't treat its employees with the kind of dignity and respect they deserve. So we've got an active organizing campaign going on. And when I say an active organizing campaign, that's we're on the ground trying to actively organize Walmart employees, but we're also, in the wake of doing that, we're getting more and more feedback from Walmart employees at different locations around the province who are interested in what we're doing and what are the benefits of having a union in place. So as of this point, we have an application in before the Labor Relations Board. We have a majority of the employees at the Walmart store in Terrace up north have agreed to join the union, and they're looking for union representation. And, of course, Walmart, as is their pattern, they're appealing that application, and that's going to be the subject of Labor Relations Board hearings beginning on August 23rd.
So they're appealing to the Labor Relations Board?
Mm-hmm.
I was reading on your website that another Walmart in Saskatchewan was appealing to the Supreme Court of Canada. Do you expect that to happen here as well?
Oh, it's quite possible. I mean, these guys are virulently anti-union. They will do whatever it takes to keep a union out. Now, we've managed to have more success in Canada, I think simply because we have more progressive labor legislation than you do in the United States. But yeah, in Saskatchewan, Walmart is challenging, essentially they're challenging the very right of the Saskatchewan Labor Relations Board to exist and monitor labor relations practices in that province, because they got, in cross-examination, they got busted for, I shouldn't say busted, they got exposed for having documentation from their head office that describes to Walmart managers how to keep a union out. And I'm not sure what all the details are of their application to the Supreme Court, but basically they want to use the charter to say that the Saskatchewan Labor Relations Board has overstepped its bounds. And it's a free, you know, they're almost turning it into a free speech issue is what it appears from my reading of it. And it's not surprising. I mean, Walmart will stop at nothing, whether legal or illegal, to try and prevent unions getting into the stores. They've got a track record of that's quite appalling. And I think there's been, I don't know how many hundreds of complaints before the National Labor Relations Board in the United States regarding Walmart's activities as far as illegally interfering in the formation of unions, firing people. I mean, just one atrocity after another when it comes to how they treat their employees, you know, who are trying to get a leg up in the world. And you know, I'll leave it there.
Okay. Do you know of any Walmarts anywhere in the world that are unionized?
No, at this point there aren't any. Now, in Germany they have sectoral bargaining, and Walmart has been expanding into Europe as well. In Germany there is an arrangement with the retail union there. I'm not familiar with the details, but I understand that it's sort of a standard boilerplate sort of collective agreement that covers retail workers in Germany. There are minimum standards that have to be met by this agreement, and I think that's probably as close as it comes right now. You know, to give you an example of Walmart's hostility towards unions, in Jacksonville, Texas, in I believe it was 2000, it was late 99, early 2000, there were 7 meat cutters in a meat department of a Walmart store who decided they'd like to join the UFCW. Walmart's response was to shut down that meat department and then continue to shut down, I think it was in the hundreds, 189 or something like that, huge numbers of stores, just close all their meat departments down and bring in retail-ready meat, essentially eliminate the jobs of meat cutters. There was a recent ruling, you know, 3 years after the fact, I believe it was in late 2003, by the Labor Relations Board down there that said that, in fact, Walmart had an obligation to bargain with these folks, that they had the legal right to form a union, and that Walmart's activity had been improper and illegal and all that. But, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. It's 3 years down the road. These are folks who aren't working for a whole lot of money to begin with, who aren't being treated that well to begin with. And that's one example of Walmart's hostile anti-union attitude.
In your case here, you're targeting all the Walmart employees, not just a certain sector or portion of them?
That's right. Yeah, that's essentially it. We're looking to organize. I mean, any Walmart employees at all, and we've had calls from around the province since the terrorist Walmart application went in. It got quite widespread media coverage. It was covered in Canada, not surprisingly. But it was also covered by CNN, it was covered by Bloomberg in the States, a number of major daily papers in the States picked it up. And that kind of publicity, I think it gives Walmart workers a voice because, you know, oftentimes, you know, it's the same old story when you're trying to organize people into a union is they're, you know, the big thing that holds them back is fear. They're terrified of the boss. There's that power imbalance that exists. And Walmart plays that up very well. They're very good at what they do. They essentially have a SWAT team that they fly in whenever there's a threat of union representation coming in. And they run a campaign out there to try essentially to scare, intimidate, bribe, whatever you want to call it, their employees away from the possibility of joining a union.
Is there a fear that if terrorists does unionize and that they vote in favor of the UFCW, that they would shut that store down just to save themselves from the union?
Walmart spokesman in Canada has said that they will not do that. He's categorically said that. So that's certainly, I think, on the ground, that's what Walmart managers love running out to their employees, is that, look, this company's big enough and profitable enough, and it doesn't need you in this small town to join a union. It'll just shut the doors. I think that's a relatively standard line that Walmart uses, and, you know, employers have used for, you know, decades, centuries, as it were. Now we don't think that's a serious threat. That Walmart store in Terrace, in particular, it opened up in January. You know, and again, their spokesperson has said that they will not close a store due to unionization. It would be other business factors, I believe, is what he said.
Do you have any historical knowledge of Walmart and how long they've been around, what they've accomplished so far as a corporation with respect to labor rights?
Well, I think, you know, they've, in fact, what they've accomplished, I think they've been one of the forces that's probably driven back labor rights. They're so influential and so powerful. They've become the second biggest corporate contributor in the United States, and they focus virtually, you know, a lot of companies in the U.S., they don't see a big distinction between the Democrats and the Republicans. Walmart puts, it looks like, about between 85 and 90% of its corporate contributions to the Republican Party, which, of course, is George Bush. And what George Bush is rolling out for Walmart are things like bans on overtime, or the obligation of employers to pay overtime, that kind of thing. All kinds of anti-labor legislation and bills that are being, you know, essentially written in the boardrooms. And, I mean, they're paying for that influence, and they expect the payback. So Walmart, you know, Walmart has been around in Canada since the early 90s when they bought the Woolco, the old Woolco chain, Woolworths Woolco chain. The only stores they shut down at the time, when they bought that chain, to the best of my knowledge anyway, were the unionized stores. There were a handful of unionized Woolworth and Woolco stores that were shut down across the country. There may have been a few others as well as part of their business practice, but they've been slowly expanding and extending their reach in the Canadian market. You know, and they've, you know, they are now the biggest employer in the United States. They're the biggest employer in Mexico. They haven't reached that stage in Canada yet, but, you know, as somebody wrote in a column in the Washington Post not long ago, I mean, at what point did the American people look for a transformation to a Walmart economy from a GM economy? They don't pay living wages. They don't treat their employees well. They don't follow through on paying benefits appropriately to their employees. They can't even follow their own guidelines for that. And we've heard from Walmart managers who will give us confidential phone calls and that kind of thing and say, look, I mean, if you work for Walmart, if you work 13 weeks at 28 hours, you're supposed to be eligible for benefit package. Walmart will try and skirt its way around that too, from what we hear from these folks. And these are Walmart managers who've shared this information with us. So they're a very predatory force. They're a very destructive force out there, and I think it's our obligation as a union movement to do all we can to try and organize the people who work there.
You talked about political backing by the Bush government in the United States with the U.S. Walmart Corporation. In Canada and B.C., do you know if the Walmart has funded any political campaigns of any parties here?
I'm not familiar. It was a few years ago after the last election was the last time I looked to see who the corporate contributors were to the B.C. Liberal government that we have right now, for example, and I don't know what Walmart's role in that was, or if they had one for that matter.
Canada, okay. I don't know. And you talked about managers just a few moments ago, that you'd spoken to managers. Are you trying to organize management as well, or just the...
No, as a rule, we're trying to organize the rank and file. I mean, the upcoming Labor Relations Board hearing that we're going to have regarding our application for the Walmart people and terrorists who want to join the union, that's what Walmart likes challenging on, is they believe that, they've got assistant managers up the yin-yang and what they'd like to do. And they tend to be... people who are loyal to the company, to be charitable about describing them. Nevertheless, what Walmart likes to do is challenge on that basis and say that these people don't have enough authority to be considered somebody who should be out of the bargaining unit. So therefore, they want them included in the vote, and that of course weakens the vote of the rank and file folks who actually work in the store. So it boils down to a sort of a technical legal argument as to what constitutes a worker and what constitutes a manager, and that's where we'll be at in front of the Labor Relations Board.
So is that central in your application right now, or is that just a side piece?
Well, it's something you have to consider when you go. I mean, we've seen this show before from Walmart, and it's something you have to consider when you go up against them and try and organize the folks in their store. I mean, we've got a few organizing campaigns going on right now, and as I said, we're getting hits from all over the place. And that's certainly, when you're signing up cards, you keep in mind as to, you try and get a handle on how many people work in total in the store, how many would be managers, and how many would be considered rank and file folks. And you want to get it over the hump to ensure that you get a certification, that you've got enough votes that even if X number of votes are thrown out by a Labor Relations Board ruling, that you still have a secure enough vote to assure that the union is going to be certified as the bargaining agent and representative of those workers.
Are you trying to unionize other stores right now in British Columbia? Can you tell me about them, or is that a secret?
Well, I can't. Yeah, we are trying to unionize. We're working on other stores. We have some campaigns going. But, we don't talk about it while they're in progress until we get an application, and we don't like to talk about it simply because it's a tremendous amount of pressure on employees such as Walmart employees to make a decision to join a union. They get a hell of a lot of pressure from their employer to stay away from the union. It's a very, very difficult thing for them, and we don't want to make it more complicated by sending out a red flag to Walmart saying that, oh, by the way, we're in such and such a place organizing your members. I mean, that just complicates their lives more than is necessary. Again, the fear factor out there is a very real one. And when you look at things like what the BC Liberals have done to welfare laws, if you get fired from a job after having been on welfare for X, whatever period of time, you may not be eligible to go on welfare again. So, a single mom who's for want of a better word, been forced off of welfare to get a job at Walmart for, minimum wage and very little prospect for the future, certainly not a living wage. If she all of a sudden becomes a union supporter and gets fired for her troubles, and Walmart knows how to do that, I mean, that there's big consequences for someone in that situation. So we really take, we really have a big responsibility to the people we're trying to organize as well, which is, in terms of their own security and safety and overall well-being, which is why we tend not to talk about where it is we're organizing.
Right. The individuals that you're organizing, do they all fit the same pattern as struggling single mother type people that are trying to make ends meet and maybe working one or two jobs?
Not necessarily. I mean, that's certainly a stereotype that exists. And there certainly are. There's a lot of a lot of folks who for whatever reason, they're either entry level into the workforce, or or they're trying to supplement their income and end up with a job at Walmart. But no, it's sort of across the board. It depends, I think, on the given circumstances, economic circumstances and conditions in a geographic locale. A place like Terrace, rather, where there's been a fairly big unemployment problem due to all the troubles they've had in the lumber industry recently. A place like Walmart might be a last gasp for somebody who was, making very good money as a union logger or working in a mill. But you also have people like students, high school students who see what Walmart's all about and understand that a union, or once they have an opportunity to hear what unions have accomplished in the past for working people. We've had some tremendous support in different campaigns from high school students before who honestly feel like they have nothing to lose. I mean, if they're working for $8 an hour or whatever it is they're making at Walmart, they can likely go down the street and get another job quite often. So it makes life a little more interesting for them too, to get involved as union activists and to promote the union from within and form committees to help bring a union to their store.
Yeah, and we need younger people in the labor movement as well, so that's really good.
We really do. I mean, I think the labor movement's been talking about it for a lot of years now, but it's true. When you go to a labor convention, for example, I mean, there's a lot more graying, balding heads there than we'd like to see. So I think that it is possible to die a death of a thousand cuts, and I think the labor movement's very conscious of the need to move forward and get young people. I think, first of all, educated about what the union movement has accomplished on behalf of working people, but also to get them actively involved in unions and make them increase their awareness that there's real possibilities that exist with a unionized workplace.
Tell me more about the process the UFCW and Walmart employees need to go through in order to unionize to get certification. What's the beginning to the end process?
Well, the beginning is essentially, invariably what happens is somebody from a Walmart store will contact the union, contact our organizing department, or they'll talk to somebody who will contact the union and say, "Hey, so and so is interested in joining the union." And from that point, we'll contact them. We'll do what we can to get the names and get in touch with the other people who work there. I mean, that's the basic nuts and bolts of organizing. It's just lots of on-the-ground work with talking to employees and explaining to them why it makes sense for them to belong to a union.
I imagine you don't do that in the workplace. You go to their homes or meet them at a neutral location.
That's typically what we have to do. I mean, I know that in other jurisdictions, for example, I was just talking to another UFCW organizer back east, and he was meeting last Friday night at 10 o'clock in a pool hall with a bunch of Walmart employees. I mean, that's that. It really has to be almost an underground kind of thing, because there's real consequences that Walmart will inflict on these people if they do decide they want to join the union. There's a very real possibility that they're going to be fired, terminated, disciplined, or Walmart may skirt around the labor laws and come up with another excuse to fire them. But that's the essence of it. And then it's just a matter, once you get your employees, have an opportunity to talk to your employees and convince them that it's worthwhile to sign a card. Well, when enough of them sign a card, you get the simple majority, 50% plus one. You can put an application in before the Labor Relations Board to act as their union representative.
Okay. Let's go and change from the Walmart over to Shoppers Drug Mart and talk about that for a moment. Are Shoppers Drug Marts already unionized in certain locations around Canada?
Yeah, well, actually, to the best of my knowledge, we've got our local union here, the UFCW, has about 19, I think it's 19 right now, it could be 17, Shoppers Drug Marts. Most are in the Lower Mainland, the one in Sydney, in Squamish, and Duncan, they're also unionized. So it's not all of them by any stretch of the imagination. I think that's about half of Shoppers Drug Mart stores in BC have members who belong to our union. We organized them initially in the early 1970s. Very, very difficult battle at the time, but did end up winning that battle in 1973 after a 7-month strike and established a good contract. And essentially, I think my own personal opinion is that Shoppers is trying to get rid of the union, as most employers are. I mean, that pressure is always there to try to undermine the value of the union to their employees.
Okay. With them trying to, I guess, decertify unions in various workplaces, I imagine that they have people in the locals pushing for these decertification processes. Do you have, like, lots of activists fighting against that, too?
Well, yeah, these certifications are, I mean, they've come and gone with Shoppers over the years. I mean, it's often been a case where we'll organize two and we may have one decertified. And it's difficult because we don't have all of them organized, and it's tough to do from that direction. But right now, we're in the middle of contract negotiations with them. These contract negotiations have been long and protracted, and we're trying to raise public awareness. We're asking people not to shop at Shoppers Drug Mart, with the exception of the stores that we have unionized. And we have that information as to the locations of the unionized Shoppers Drug Mart stores is on our union's website, which is www.ufcw1518.com. But we are asking that people don't shop at Shoppers Drug Mart until the company comes in and has a reasonable and fair contract settlement, which we're having great difficulty achieving.
Are they currently without a contract?
No, the existing contract is still in effect until we negotiate a new one. But at this point, negotiations have been long and protracted, and it's just been difficult to move forward. So we have activists who have been out there leafleting at various non-union Shoppers Drug Mart stores explaining the circumstances that, you know, in many cases there's people who've gone without a raise for 8 to 10 years. They basically want to roll back benefits. That's a big threat, I think, for our membership. And we're at a very stagnant place in negotiations, despite the assistance of a mediator. So we're trying to move forward by pressuring the employer to do the right thing. It's a very, very profitable company. I think their profits jumped 23% last year to $258 million. They're a darling of Bay Street right now. There's simply no economic justification for them to be dragging this out to the extent they are. They're doing exceptionally well.
Are these contracts national or provincial?
This is a local contract with our union that covers the stores where we have Shoppers Drug Mart members. As far as I know, we are the only jurisdiction that has Shoppers Drug Mart stores organized. It's possible there may be some in Ontario, but I'd have to look into that.
Okay, so they're just in BC.
Yeah.
So with respect to the collective bargaining process, how has the overall collective bargaining environment in BC, with the HEU taking a 15% wage cut, the nurses taking a 0% wage increase, and the BCGU taking hits with respect to layoffs and wage cuts, and that as well with the social workers, the whole provincial government looks to be attacking labor left, right, and center. So how does that help your fight?
Yeah, it's important to draw the distinction between public sector bargaining and private sector bargaining. But there's no question. I mean, the BC Liberals, Gordon Campbell and company, do not like unions. I mean, they make no bones about that, and they've attacked the public sector unions pretty vigorously. Of which we've got about 2,500 healthcare workers, their home support workers around the province, and so we're also in bargaining with the government as well on that. And we've watched what's happened there. But when it comes to the on-the-ground issues, I mean, our members certainly understand that a company as profitable as Shoppers Drug Mart, they can afford to pay a wage increase and to maintain the existing benefit package, which is pretty good. We were in bargaining last year, very difficult round of bargaining with Canada Safeway and Overweighty Save-On. And the bargaining with Safeway, on a couple occasions, we came within a couple hours of hitting the bricks, of being on strike, and we did launch rotating strikes at one point. At the end of the day, we ended up with wage increases, benefit improvements. All those things were there. Now, you know, again, it's the distinction between private and public sector. I mean, this is an exceptionally hostile government we have in the Liberal government that's currently sitting in Victoria. And I think that the public sector unions, which, you know, includes us, I mean, there is the reality that you have to live to fight another day. I mean, these guys were prepared to gut and destroy every union that they could, and that's certainly what they've attempted to do. It's put a chill out there, there's no question. But I think that that most people understand the equation. The public, when we're out leafleting or talking to folks about what Shoppers Drug Mart is doing, about last year, about what Safeway was doing, they understand very clearly that corporations aren't getting weaker and aren't getting poorer as a rule. There's very few exceptions to that. And so the demand for concessions and rollbacks, it just doesn't wash with the public. I mean, I think there is a general understanding out there that for the most part, the corporate community is doing quite well.
With respect to organizing and the Provincial Labor Relations Act, with it being watered down by the Liberals since they came in power, does that make your job more difficult?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think... Given the classic power imbalance that exists between employer and employee, I mean, I believe, as do a lot of other people, that automatic certification should be there. And I also believe that we should have first contract legislation that, if through collective bargaining for a first contract, you can't establish a first contract because one side or the other isn't agreeing, the Labor Relations Board should have the right to come in and impose a first contract and get that union environment, union and company environment established, because it's the evidence is overwhelming that having a unionized environment is not poison to a company's profitability, their ability to do business. I mean, essentially what it does is give the workers some rights, and any company with a milligram of brains knows that it can do business and make money while having a unionized environment. That's been proven around the world in many cases. Unfortunately, the regressive policies of the BC Liberals certainly aren't moving in that direction, which is one reason that I think there's going to be a lot of people mobilized for the provincial election next year. I shouldn't say mobilized. Well, they'll be mobilized, but they'll also be very motivated. I think they've seen just how destructive this government has been on a whole bunch of counts. And despite the kind of nonsense that the Vancouver Sun and CKNW and a lot of the corporate commercial media is running out about, all this so-called economic good news we've been seeing a flurry of lately, I think people again, they see on the street and on the ground exactly what's happening, and understand that the consequences of electing the Liberals again would be even more dire. So it's going to make for an interesting next 10 months.
It certainly will be. I just wanted to know if you can tell us about any of the stores that are being targeted for Shoppers Drug Mart yet, or are they still in the blackout phase of your organizing campaign?
Yeah, well, we're not actively organizing Shoppers at this point. What we're doing is trying to get a contract for the existing stores that we have, where we have our members. And so what we're doing, though, is asking people to not support or not shop at the non-union Shopper stores. And I don't have the list in front of me. It's about a 50-50 split. So, again, if you go to the union's website, which is ufcw1518.com, the list is there, and the explanation as to what the campaign's about and why we're doing it is okay. There's some more information there as well.
So are your plans in the future to try and organize these non-union shops so that you can have a more effective bargaining position?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, it's a real difficulty in the retail environment, because essentially retail employees have relied on a massive turnover year over year to defeat any efforts to unionize their folks. They don't pay enough as a rule for people to stay around, and that's been a linchpin for them. But that doesn't mean that the people who work there don't deserve an opportunity to belong to a union. So we'll certainly be taking a stab at organizing other Shoppers Drug Marts.
Are there, just as a, to finish it off, are there any other sectors that you're in the process of organizing besides the Shoppers and Walmart?
Yep, there's some retail food stores that we've had some contact from employees at non-union retail food stores that we're going to be running organizing campaigns through. In our industrial sector, we have a good chunk of the poultry industry. Now, the poultry industry is going through the avian flu crisis, of course. But,
right.
But, there's a number of different units out there that we get hits from every once in a while. I shouldn't say units. Industrial operations, be they feed mills or food processing plants of one sort or another, that will certainly take whatever opportunity we can to try and organize those folks and go talk to them.
And they contact you first, and then you go out.
It's, yeah, if they contact us, we definitely go out. I mean, we also will phone around if we hear from somebody. I mean, we've got 26,000 members in virtually every sector of the economy in BC. So, we encourage our members to get in touch with us if they hear of somebody who, friend, relative, whatever the case may be, who believes they may benefit from having a union. We encourage them to contact us, and we get a fair number of hits through that as well.
Right. So can they contact you through the website or do you have a phone number?
Yeah, they can contact us through the website. We've got some organizing information there. There's also an email link that's right on the homepage of the website as soon as you call it up. Again, it's www.ufcw1518.com. And it's very easy to contact us, and we always respond promptly.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy, for your time, and I appreciate you inviting me in to talk to you about these issues. And I wish you luck in your organizing and your collective bargaining talks.
Thanks very much, Shane.